Gurave Namaha. So as I mentioned before, today is the glorious disappearance anniversary of Srila Jayadeva Goswami, so we'll speak a little bit about him before we get on to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So Jayadeva Goswami is called Jayadeva Goswami in spite of being married. And usually someone who is a Goswami or a Swami means basically that they're in the renounced order of life. And of course, renounced order of life basically means civilly dead. In other words, no more mundane responsibilities. Everything is dedicated to Krishna. But in the case of Jayadeva Goswami, he was not in the formal renounced order of life, although he was completely renounced, even though he was married, a very nice, pure devotee wife, Padmavati. And he was completely absorbed in the internal pastimes of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved to read the works of Jayadeva Goswami, like the Gita Govinda. So sometimes you'll find people in the household order of life who are actually much more renounced even than sannyasis. Of course, there's that example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was commenting on Sripad Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was a householder. And Ramananda Roy's specific, let's say, activity that was quite unique, whether it was for a householder or for a sannyasi, whatever, was to teach the Devi Dasis how to dance for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. And in teaching the Devi Dasis how to dance for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath, he had to decorate their bodies. These were young girls. He had to decorate their bodies and even bathe their bodies and touch their bodies while he was bathing in so many different places. And he never felt disturbed, even though he was in a male, external male body, because he was absorbed in his internal relationship with Krishna. So this is the perfection of devotional service, where one is actually internally interacting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates and serving manasa seva, serving in the mind, serving with one's siddha deha, spiritual body, at the same time manifesting activities externally. So in other words, there was no external identification. It was all internal identification. And because of that, when Lord Chaitanya heard about these activities from another devotee, Prajuna Mishra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I consider myself very advanced, but even if I see the wooden statue of a lady, you know, I feel changes in my body and mind." Of course, Lord Chaitanya obviously was not under the jurisdiction, or is not under the jurisdiction of the material energy. However, he was showing the example of Ramananda Roy being so advanced, even more than regular sannyasis, because Ramananda Roy did not feel any changes in the external body or mind. He was just like internally absorbed. So this is a similar case to Jayadeva Goswami, that Jayadeva Goswami was just internally absorbed. So therefore we have to be careful when seeing a Vaishnava from the external viewpoint. A Vaishnava should not be considered according to caste or creed or male or female or nationality, whatever, any of those things. He has to be considered, he or she has to be considered according to their qualities. Kiva vipra kiva nashi shuja kena noi ye Krishna tatva veta se guru hoi. The statement is there. Whether one is vipra or sannyasi or shudra or whatever, then he's considered guru if he knows the science of Krishna. Of course, knowing the science of Krishna means not only knowing the theoretical details, you know, you're not the body, we're part and parcel of Krishna. This is all sambandha gyan. So knowing the science of Krishna means to understand sambandha gyan, Abhideya Gyan, and Prayojana Gyan. So these are the three stages of understanding Krishna. You understand? So to understand Krishna totally in truth means those three stages. First stage, Gursambandha, means the basic theoretical knowledge that I'm not this body, material world is manifest, and then it becomes unmanifest at a certain point. Bhutva, bhutva, pralayate, the time factor, karma, reincarnation, all these basic things that we teach, that's called sambandha gyan. Sambandha means relationships, the different interrelationships of the elements, just like we find in the Bhagavad Gita, there's, you know, five different topics. That's called sambandha gyan. And then abhideya gyan means, what do you do about that information? All right, now that you know you're not the body, now that you know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, now that you know the material world is temporary, now that you know that the time factor is killing everybody, you know, Bhagavad Gita stuff, then what do you do about it? Well, that's the practice of devotional service, both in rules and regulations, and then spontaneously, you know, Vaidhi and Raghunuga. So, in other words, the rules and regulations, the what we do, you know, waking up early in the morning, all those things, are basically nectar devotion. At least the first part of nectar devotion that describes the Vaidhi Bhakti process, the Sadhana Bhakti process, and even part of the Raghunuga Bhakti process. And then Prayojana Tattva means to really understand fully about the spiritual realm, what's happening in the spiritual realm, what you're going to be doing in the spiritual realm, what are you doing in the spiritual realm, the different rasas. I mean, all that's prayojana, what's happening in the spiritual world, and ultimately realizing. So to know Krishna means to know and realize all those three. So if someone knows and realizes all those three, then that person is guru. I mean, actually, the highest level guru. And then that person can be accepted as acharya. That person is not considered according to caste or creed. And maybe, even if he's a householder, called Goswami, like Jayadev Goswami, which basically Goswami means controlling the senses. Goswami. Go means controller, Swami means senses. Okay, so let's hear a little bit about the life of Jayadev Goswami. So, he appeared in Bengal, in a district called the Kendu Bilvagram district, and of a pure devotee mother and father, as His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada also appeared from a pure devotee mother and father. And he had the job originally as a chief pundit in the court of a king, and the king's name was King Hare Krishna. And the king's name was Lakshmana Sena. And he was married, as I mentioned before, to his wife Padmavati. So he resided in Navadweep on the bank of the Ganges, and he had very intimate pure devotee friends, which we'll mention here, Upatidhar, Acharya Sri Govinda, and Kavi Shamapati. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much relished the works of Srila Jayadev Goswami, as well as the works of Chandidas, Vidyapati, and of course Ram Roy, and Krishna Karnamrita, which is the work of Bilva Mangal Thakur. Maybe you can close the door completely so we don't get too much cold air here. So Krishna Karnamrita, she'll get it. Krishna Karnamrita, which is the work of Bilva Mangal Thakur. Of course, Bilva Mangal Thakur was the famous blind poet, and he became blind. There's that whole story where he put his eyes out because he became attracted by a lady. So the Gita Govinda talks about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It's actually in the form of a drama and discusses what's called union and separation between Radha and Krishna. And the Gita Govinda also has within it Dasha Avatar Shlokas. Now, I think most of you are familiar with the Dasha Avatar Shlokas, especially the one in reference to Lord Nrsingadev, Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hari. There's also Dasha Avatar means the 10 avatars. You have Lord Nrsingadev, Rama, Varaha, Kurma, Kurma Sharira, Jai Jagadisha Hari. You have Haladara Rupa, that it's Balaram. So you have all these various incarnations, manifestations of Krishna. And of course, Krishna is described in the prayers of Jayadev Goswami as the avatari. Avatari means the person from whom all the other avatars emanated. So it's interesting, just a little comment on this, that Jayadev Goswami does have this basic philosophical presentation within the most elevated thesis. And the reason he has that is to establish that devotees, even of Radha and Krishna, devotees who are established in the highest rasas with Krishna, they still appreciate the various incarnations of the Lord. Sometimes you'll find sahajas, they simply talk about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and they say, well, I'm not interested in Lord Nrsingadev, I'm not interested in Lord Varaha, I'm not interested in Kurma. But this means they're not interested in Krishna either. Because when you love someone, if you love Krishna in Vrindavan, you'll love what he does anywhere. It's just like someone saying, like a wife saying to her husband, I love you very much, but when you go to work, I'm not really interested in hearing about it. You know, I'm just not interested. You know, just I love you at home, but, you know, buddy, don't talk about anything else. Then that would be an insult. You know, that obviously, the gopis, they were aware of Krishna's various... How do we know that they were aware? They criticized Krishna for doing things outside of Vrindavan. What sort of criticism did they give Krishna? They said, Krishna, this girl approached you when you were Lord Ram, and you cut her nose off and her ears and other parts of the body. So you're very cruel. How could you do this? And of course, that means they were aware of the pastimes of Krishna with Lord Ram. So they actually heard about these things. Even when Krishna was in Vrindavan and Mother Yashoda was telling him some bedtime stories, I mean, of course, Krishna's bedtime stories were not like our bedtime stories that we hear some stories about from Grimm's fairy tales or, Sleeping Beauty or something like that. Maybe we should hear Liquid Beauty instead of this Sleeping Beauty. So, but Krishna was hearing about Lord Ram. So Mother Yashoda was telling him about Lord Ram when Krishna was taking rest at night. Interesting, isn't it? And then Krishna, when he heard about the pastimes of Lord Ram, he jumped up on his bed and started basically yelling, I'll get that rascal, referring to Ravan, of course. I'll get him. And Mother Yashoda was wondering, you know, what's happening with my kid? So even Krishna manifested his awareness of the various incarnations when he was a little kid, you know, in Vrindavan. And of course there's that famous story where Krishna told the gopis that I used to be Lord Ram. You know, I used to be Lord Ram. And then the gopis said, ah, we don't believe this stuff. And then Krishna said, well, I built a bridge, myself, of course, the monkeys, across the ocean, Setu Bandhu, to Sri Lanka, Ravana's kingdom. And the gopi said, what? And he made the stones float by writing my name. And so the gopis didn't believe that, and Krishna said, I'll show you. And so He had his monkeys in Vrindavan actually build a bridge. And the stones floated. The gopis were still incredulous. So you do find, even in Krishna's Braj pastimes, that there's actually awareness of the various other pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Jayadev Goswami, writing the Dasa Avatar Shloka in the middle of the Gita Govinda, is not inappropriate, it's actually quite appropriate. And so we can learn from that to appreciate all the pastimes of the Lord. Because we love Krishna. We love everything he does. So anyway, getting back to the Gita Govinda, there's a part of the Gita Govinda that elaborates on Radharani's man. Now, man is sometimes taken as anger, but it really indicates an intense emotion. But usually when you hear in Braj, you hear man, it means anger. There's even this place, Manasarovara, where Radharani manifested her anger, and Krishna got down. Sarovara means like a lake, and there's even a forest right next to that lake where the trees are even bending down. So Krishna got down on his hands and knees and was crying, begging for forgiveness from Srimati Radharani. A very nice picture in the temple there. So then Jayadev Goswami, one time in the Gita Govinda, was writing. He was writing, Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet. And so when he was writing that, he didn't complete that particular portion, he felt, what? How can this happen? This is inappropriate, like Krishna is God. So how can he bow down and touch Radharani's feet? But still, he had that realization. So he went and to take his bath before his midday meal. And while he was taking his bath, of course, a famous story, Krishna came appearing like Jayadev Goswami. And he went to Jayadev Goswami's wife and said, "Where's prasadam?" And he sat down, took prasadam. And after he took prasadam, he basically sat at Jayadev Goswami's desk and completed that particular verse. And so then eventually, after Krishna left in the form of Jayadev Goswami, real Jayadev Goswami came back, and Jayadev Goswami said to his wife, "Where is prasadam?" And his wife said, "You already took." And he said, "I didn't take, you know. I don't remember taking. I didn't take prasadam, and I'm hungry." And he said, she said to him, "You finished prasadam, and then after that you sat down at your desk and you wrote." And so he went to his desk, and then he looked, and there, lo and behold, there was that completed verse where it says that Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet. And so Jayadev Goswami understood that Krishna had personally done that, and so he went to his wife and said, "You were very fortunate. You got a chance to directly feed Krishna." So this is the quality of Jayadev Goswami's wife, that she was able to directly feed Krishna. Jayadev Goswami was directly able to have Krishna complete his verse there. So this is not something that we can basically understand. It's beyond our purview of our mundane intelligence and senses. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained about Jayadev Goswami. He said Jayadev Goswami had manifest in his heart the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was awakened, even though Jayadev Goswami appeared long before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So another book that Jayadev Goswami compiled or composed was called the Chandra Loka. That means the moon planet, basically, or the moon of Krishna's pastimes. Jayadev Goswami, his deities that he worshipped were Radha, Madhava, and these deities are now in Jaipur. He was a Sanskrit scholar at an early age. Some people consider him the incarnation of melody or melodious songs and melodious poetry. And so his wife, Padmavati, he met her in Jagannath Puri because she was completely dedicated to Lord Jagannath there. And of course, Padmavati is famous in Jagannath Puri. The name Padmavati is famous, Padmavati. And inspired, when Jayadeva Goswami went to see Lord Jagannath and eventually get married, he was inspired by Lord Jagannath, and Lord Jagannath's inspiration inspired him to compose the Gita Govinda. So there's an interesting story about the king of Jagannath Puri. The king's name was Gajapati. That's a standard name for a king. It means it, the Lord of the Elephants. You understand? Gajapati. You know, Pati means like Lord. Like the wife is supposed to be called Pati Dave, called the husband Pati Dave. My Lord and Master, like that. And so Gajapati means Lord of the Elephants. You know, anyway, because in those days, the kings had many elephants. So that's a standard name. It's not an individual name, it's a generic name. So this king, he was envious of Jayadeva Goswami. And he wanted to compose his own Gita Govinda in opposition. So he had his pundits under his jurisdiction compose something called the Abhinava Gita Govinda. Enviousness. Even the king's own man made fun of him, the king. They said, this is envious, you envious rascal. This is your so-called Gita Govinda is like a lamp compared to the son of Jayadeva Goswami, the son of Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda. So there was a controversy. How to settle a controversy? So generally in those days, if there was a controversy, it was settled before the deities. Like if someone had some argument or conflict with someone else or there was some accusation, people were so pious, they could go before the deities, and people were afraid of lying before the deities. They didn't need lie detectors at that particular point. You understand? Because you go before the deities, did you do it? Yeah, I did it. You understand? Because, you know, they really had faith. I mean, this is an important thing that we've been speaking about the last few days, having faith that Krishna is there. I mean, we're not, it's, the deity worship is not just a ritual. Sakshad Rajendra Nandana, Krishna is directly there in front of you. I mean, you can approach him, you can reveal your mind to him, you can offer prayer, you should offer prayers to him, you can pray to him, you can beg from him pure devotional service. The deity is manifest for our benefit. I mean, Krishna doesn't need to come down for his own benefit. He has Lakshmi Sahasrasa Shata Sambrama Sivimana. He has unlimited Lakshmis in the spiritual world. What does he need? Some, you know, old guy or girl to serve him in the material world. So anyway, so that's how they settled controversies. Hare Krishna. So they would go before the deities, and in this particular case, they placed both manuscripts before Lord Jagannath at night, before Lord Jagannath took rest. And of course, we know Lord Jagannath only takes rest for about 2 hours a night. Because if you remember that story, when King Indradunya installed Lord Jagannath, he basically asked for several benedictions. You know, basically, you basically be eating all day long. Your hands will never get dry. And people should be able to see you practically 24 hours a day. So in the morning, they put both those manuscripts right in front of the deities, you know, where they would make the offering generally. In the morning, they found Jayadeva Goswami's manuscript clasped to the deity's chest, to Lord Jagannath's chest. Amazing, isn't it? The Gita Govinda, Lord Jagannath, I mean, somehow or other, of course his hands, obviously, his hands weren't like that, but they were just, it was attached to his chest. And then the king's manuscript, the oppositional Gita Govinda, which was not the real Gita Govinda, was scattered all over the floor. Basically, it was just like, who wants this thing? So that's how it was settled. So when that was understood, that Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda was dear to Lord Jagannath like that, Jayadeva Goswami's fame spread all over India. And it was sung in every major temple and court all over India. It became so famous. By the 15th century A.D., there was art in every traditional style all over India, illustrating different versions of the Gita Govinda. There was a Gita Govinda in Gujarat, Uttar Pradesh, Rajasthan, Punjab, etc. Actually, everywhere. Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, all over India. I mean, and all the Sampradayas basically appreciated. When you talk about the Nimbarka Sampradaya, the Sri Sampradaya, Madhvacharya Sampradaya, all these different Sampradayas, Rudra Sampradaya, they all appreciated Jayadeva Goswami's manuscript. In fact, there's an illustrated version from 1590 that's on display at the Bombay Museum. Even the Mughal Emperor Akbar appreciated and admired the Gita Govinda, Jayadeva Goswami, and he commissioned an illustrated manuscript in the Mughal style. So even who had a Mughal, who was a Muslim at that time. And so this king, getting back to the point about the king was so disturbed that he had been defeated, he resigned. And now the words from the Gita Govinda, not the whole Gita Govinda, but some of them, are inscribed on the Jai Vijay gateway in the temple of Lord Jagannath. So every night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would listen to this Gita Govinda, and Prabhupada said, Jayadev Goswami is listed, or should be listed, as one of the Mahajanas. And generally, you know, we have this Dwadasha Mahajana, the 12 Mahajanas, and in the main list, he's not there, but Prabhupada said he's on that particular level. You know, like Bali and Lord Brahma, Shukadev Goswami, all these great personalities, he's on that particular level. Prabhupada said, also, the works of Jayadeva Goswami should be read by those who are liberated souls. And he said, first, you have to understand the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all those other preliminary literatures before you delve into the works of Jayadeva Goswami, like the Gita Govinda, which is a very intimate, or also we have the Ujjala Nilamani, which is the next book of Srila Rupa Goswami's in line of the Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So one has to be very, very careful. For example, this is an interesting story about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wanted to publish books like the Ujjala Nilamani and the Gita Govinda, and he went to his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, whether he could publish these things. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no, it's not appropriate. And eventually he kept insisting, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you can print and publish one copy, only for yourself. Because you're qualified, but other people are not qualified. So it's very important to approach devotional service, as Srila Prabhupada said, understanding the different stages of devotional service. There's this group called the Sahajas, which is a lot nowadays, there's a lot of Sahajas, who are just like try to jump up. Like Prabhupada sometimes would recite this poem, big, big belly, big, big monkey, Ceylon jumping melancholy. So I'll have to explain what that means. For example, we have Hanuman. Hanuman, he was able to jump to Ceylon, Sri Lanka, and quite a large distance. The Ramayana describes it was 800 miles. It's a large distance. Nowadays, I guess Ceylon, Sri Lanka is quite closer to India. But in those days, at least sometimes there's a little bit of hyperbole in the literature. Hyperbole means an exaggeration. And sometimes it's accurate. I'm not qualified to say whether it was hyperbole or not. So in any case, he was able to jump to Sri Lanka. And so if we try to imitate him, big, big belly, you know, we may be very proud. Big, big monkey, Ceylon jumping, melancholy. We'll become melancholy because we're going to fall flat on our faces. So we have these great personalities, and we're not supposed to imitate them. There's two things, anusar, anukar. One is following in the footsteps. The other one is imitation. We're meant to follow in the footsteps of personalities like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Jayadeva Goswami, understand their essential message for us according to our platform in devotional service, which means being very strict in sadhana bhakti and taking devotional service very, very gradually. I mean, I've seen many cases that people jump up and then they end up, you know, thinking themselves Babaji's or connected with the Babaji's. I had one godbrother who just started to connect to the Babaji's, glorifying the Babaji's. And then, of course, there's many wonderful Babaji's who are advanced and dedicated and pure devotees of the Lord. But it's very premature. Very premature. It's like Prabhupada said, a young girl, and we're talking a young girl like 5 years old, thinking she's going to have a child. You know, she has to grow up. And then at the appropriate time, she can have a child. So at the same time, we have to grow up in devotional service. And I was reading in the Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Jiva Dharma, where there's this whole discussion between Vaishnavadas. Vaishnavadas was previously a Mayavadi sannyasi, became a devotee. A whole discussion between him and Lahiri Mahasai. Does anyone remember the story? No. Lahiri Mahasai. And Lahiri Mahasai is very much, he was a professional kirtan singer before, and then he came and he said, well, I thought to be Krishna conscious, you just have to do kirtan and express your emotions while you're doing kirtan. What is the need for knowledge? You know, what is the need for the gyan? And Vaishnavadas makes it very strong point that that this gyan, this sambandha gyan, is most important so that one can distinguish sambandha and abhideya gyan, distinguish between material emotions and spiritual emotions. Because as we know, Srila Prabhupada has commented on this many times, there's fallacies of the conditioned soul. One of them is makes mistakes, right? Imperfect senses, cheating propensity, like that, tendency to be illusioned. So basically, until you come to the liberated platform, you're subject, all of us, not accusing anyone here, we're subject to these four defects. And so we can confuse spirit with matter and matter with spirit. Just like someone could say, like people said to Prabhupada, you know, why are you using a microphone, or why are you using why did you come in a car? Like that. Sometimes they said, you know, Prabhupada came in a Rolls Royce or something, and they said, you know, why'd you come in a Rolls Royce? You know, isn't this material? And Prabhupada said, even a gold car wouldn't be enough. Krishna's representative. So, you know, so people they confuse these things. They think to become spiritual, like the hippies in the 1960s. They thought to become spiritual would be to divest yourself of everything, including cleanliness. Some of them didn't take a bath for a long time, isn't it? Yeah, they didn't take a bath for a long time. They thought, you know, that's spiritual, you know. Taking a bath is mundane for some reason. So we of course, we don't make such obvious mistakes anymore. But we take sometimes our emotions. But until one is completely free, then there's always a mixture, at least a mixture. So one has to be very, very careful when approaching these higher topics. And one has to be qualified, have the adhikar, to approach. You know, there's different, like also in the Jivadamba, it's described, there's a karma adhikar, jnana adhikar, bhakti adhikar, and even within bhakti adhikar, adhikar means the right. There's the right for sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti, raganuga bhakti, and you have to understand you have the right to do that. It's like a license. Like you may get an automobile license, but you also have to get another license if you're going to drive a truck or a motorcycle. So you have to see if you have the right. Okay. On that happy note, sorry we didn't get to Bhagavatam. That's an important discussion. All glorious.